This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. On Saturday, Barisan National Chairman Dato' Sri Najib Razak launched the coalition's manifesto for the 14th general election. The manifesto was themed "With BN for a Greater Malaysia." It offered 14 points with special focus on jobs, affordable housing and women's rights. On the line is Lau Cheng Chow, Research and Business Development Director from the ASEAN Strategy and Leadership Institute, or ASLI. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Cheng Chow. I want to begin with a statement was made by Puteri UMNO Chief Mas Enayati Samsudin. She says that the manifesto is not populist in nature, but flexible and versatile. What do you make of it? If you were going to characterize this BN manifesto, would you call it populist?
No, I don't think it is populist. I think the BN manifesto is pretty much expected. It's pretty much an extension of the 10th and 11th Malaysia plan. You can see a lot of continuity of Najib's transformation program, which is one on pro-growth and pro-development. So I think in this sense, there is little surprise in the manifesto. But of course, BN's manifesto tries to match or outdo Pakatan Harapan's promises, say in the issues of minimum wage and the supply of affordable housing. So I don't think that is quite expected as well. But Sharad, what is interesting to note, however, is BN's offer to strengthen governance, say with the introduction of Political Financing Act and the Office of Ombudsman to investigate weaknesses in governance. So I think we want to see more policy competition that creates virtuous cycle, such as the one with governance, rather than the bidding wars in areas such as minimum wage or BRIM. So those areas are more closely associated with populist measures, but we want to see a lot more on governance.
I wonder if you've done the math on this, because, of course, those from the Pakatan Harapan side are doing the math. They're saying that this is going to be hugely expensive. I think Dr. Mahathir has come out to say it's going to be 300 billion ringgit worth. But putting aside their criticism, I want to ask you about some of the elements in the manifesto. So let's look at Felda, for instance. They're offering a special 300 million ringgit fund to write off extreme debt over the next 5 years. Also, debt for the purchase of FGV shares to be written off, and also a special incentive of 5,000 ringgit for every Felda settler. How do you view this Felda offer?
Well, the manifesto seeks to reinforce traditional BN voters, as you rightly mentioned, the Felda settlers, and those initiatives or incentives are also being covered if you look at the Pakatan Harapan's promises. Because Felda settlers are influencing some 54 BN seats. So these are touch points that are, I think, is quite important to woo these voters.
Okay, let's take this further. So if this is clearly about voters, and this is, do you see this as populist then?
Well, there are issues way back in 2004 when the federal settlers are being taken loan from Felda for replanting costs. The populist measures comes if the incentives that are given out are not being justified with productivity. And so on these further issues, I think there is some form of populism if you associated it with winning votes, but there are some real issues on the ground due to agreements which are not very clearly made out to the Felda settlers when they take those loans from Felda.
Now, I want to turn our attention to, there's so many items on that manifesto, but let's look at affordable housing. It is a political hot potato. The government is promising loans for units costing under 300,000 ringgit. They're also talking about dispensing with Bumiputra discounts for properties over a million ringgit. But I want to ask the question, has the conversation about housing really changed? You talk about policy continuity. Do we need to discontinue this belief that the private private sector and the market can deliver on housing. Should we be looking at a model like Singapore, and where the state is providing public housing? Is, you know, in some sense, does affordable housing need a very different policy orientation?
Well, that's a good point, Sharad, because in this manifesto, the BN government is not being able to tell us where do they want to bring us in 5 years' time. Because in 5 years' time, we can't be talking about affordable housing again. But the issue of affordable housing is quite important, and it's multidimensional, and this is quite key. Because in Pakatan Harapan's Buku Harapan, they are looking at the issue of affordable housing quite unidimensional. They are looking at increasing of supply. But in BN's manifesto, it's multidimensional. If you look at it, they look at issues of increasing supply and also financing issues that some people may face. Therefore, the bank for to facilitate borrowing for affordable housing, which is less than 300,000. And they also look at issues like people who may find difficulty in renting. So there are different dimensions that the BN manifesto is trying to cover. But as you rightly pointed out, there is no clear ambition in 5 years' time. Are we still talking about increasing supply for affordable housing, or where or what the eventual formula could be? So there is no goal in this sense. But at least the BN's manifesto is trying to take on this issue by looking at it multidimensionally.
If we could move on to the question of jobs. Again, the way in which political parties make promises around jobs is a curious one. We have in the Barisan National Manifesto, Malaysian Vision Valley Project, and it says that it's expected to create 1.3 million jobs. Can political parties, especially in a market-driven economy like ours, actually promise jobs?
Well, I worry a lot when politicians talk about jobs, because in Malaysia, we do not face an issue of high unemployment issue. Creating jobs and all, I think it's more about creating high-income jobs and or increasing income altogether. You can't put down some numbers, right? You can say you want to create 5 million digital entrepreneurs as well. It's also covered in one of the initiatives. But my worry is that these are just numbers and they may not mean a lot. So I think they should be looking at the issue of quality and productivity, which is associated with income generating capacity. So I would not say that, you know, if you reach that number, you are successful and stuff. I want to see increase in skills and productivity.
Now, and let's look at BRIM. It got a huge cheer in Bukit Jalil when the then Prime Minister, now he's of course the head of the caretaker government, said that they were doubling the payout for BRIM. It also, I think also with BRIM, the increased number of categories. But the issue behind BRIM is economic vulnerability, isn't it? And we have a huge number of Malaysians who are economically vulnerable. Should we be cheering the continuance of BRIM if it's in fact a symptom of economic vulnerability?
Well, again, that's the issue with the issue that I tried to raise earlier. Because we are in this bidding wars, which creates a vicious cycle of, you know, outdoing each other in terms of getting popular with the voters. Although I would say that extending BRIM is not something unexpected, because we know it's going to come. People may have different views on the magnitude of the increase, but it's not entirely unexpected. In 5 years' time, we can't be talking about extending BRIM cash handouts again, you know. So there is the missing ambition in this case. Where are we going in 5 years' time? Are we still talking about increasing our BRIM payout every year? But I do share the view that there are still a lot of vulnerable members of society that may require that cash assistance. But having a new category for N40 with the ones between 4,000 to 5,000, that is quite unnecessary. But you can say that these initiatives can pretty much help to sway some voters to voting for BN.
Thank you very much. That was Lau Cheng Cho, Research and Business Development Director from the Asian Strategy and Leadership Institute, ASLI. We'll be back with more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.